Today we are going to read from the New Testament Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 30 through 38. I read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 30. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly," in Hebrew, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So, if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me, because my word has no place in your heart. I speak of the things that I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things that you heard from your Father." Chapter 8 is in continuation to up to verse 29 and the previous chapter 7. It is a long discourse Jesus made for his audience. Verse 29 of chapter 8, Jesus concluded his discourse by saying, "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." It meant the one who sent him to the world, his Father in heaven. As he spoke these things, that's the conclusion of his discourse. Verse 30, the beginning of our today's chosen text. Many came to believe in him. At appearance among his audience, many came to believe in him. They put their trust in him. Was it good enough for them? Put their trust in him? It was just mental agreement, mental acknowledgement of what Jesus was saying to them. To a certain degree, they agreed with what Jesus told them in his discourse about him and Heavenly Father and his mission. And at the end of his discourse, chapter verse 29, Jesus said, "I always do the things that are pleasing to the Father." It is very shocking. Jesus specifically pointing out his obedience, complete, perfect obedience to his sender, Father in heaven. He was obedient to do his sender's will. In other words, but somehow, among his audience, many came to believe in him. But how shallow their mental agreement with Jesus' statement became very apparent right after Jesus' response to their belief. Verse 31. So, Jesus was saying, responding to their temporary faith in Jesus, to those Jews who had believed him. Isn't it strange? Jesus said, those Jews. We need a little more in detail about the word J-E-W-S, Jews. It is not just ordinary Israelites, he was saying. Say, Jesus came to America and speaking to us, and a lot of his audience here, we believe him. Then the writer would not say, the Americans came to believe in him. No, the audience, the people surrounding him came to believe in him. But here, John said, verse 31, though the Jews had believed him. Here, the Jews are not ordinary Jewish folks. They are kind of middle-class people. Some of them are already higher elite group, like scribes and Pharisees. Some of them are not to that elite group, but still they are better than ordinary common Israelites. That's what the Jews meant by Gospel writer John. Verse 31. Those Jews had believed him. But as I already hinted out, they had only temporary mental agreement with Jesus. Temporary faith in Jesus. Why? Let's see. Jesus saying, if you continue in my word, only by then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Just minutes ago, they confessed their belief in Jesus. But here, upon listening to Jesus' response to their temporary faith, verse 31, they answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? As if we are not free now. See? They are just flipping their mental status from believer to rebellious people. Can you see that? So I place the title to this text today. Did the truth set us free? Simple question. Did the truth spoken by Jesus of Nazareth set us, set you, set me free? We'd better know. I'll put three basic questions before us. And if we want to say yes, the truth spoken by Lord Jesus did set me free. If we want such answer, then those three basic questions, we must give three affirmative yes. First one, my agreement, mental attitude toward Jesus' words, just accepting whatever Jesus said was true. Was it just the mental agreement or total assurance of total belief, agreement with Jesus' truth? If we say yes, it's more than mental agreement, then truth did set us free. Second question. My whole obedience from the bottom of my heart, our heart, do we have such absolute, unconditional obedience to Him? As if we were turning away from being slaves to darkness and Satan and sin to the slave to our Lord Jesus Christ. If we say yes, we have from our heart, deep-seated heart, had total surrender, obedience to our Lord Jesus, who is our Master. And our Master is not any longer sin nor Satan. Then we have to say yes. The truth indeed set us free. The third question. Are we denying our own will to the will of the Heavenly Father? In other words, as chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus said, I always do the things that are pleasing to the Father. Not pleasing to myself. My pleasure is to please my sender, to do the will of my sender, not fulfill my own will. If we say yes, I totally deny my own will to please my Master's will, to do my Master's will. If we give all three affirmative yes to those three basic questions, then indeed, the truth did set us free. Unlike those many came to believe in Jesus, and then later on, immediately, they challenged Jesus' statement. None of us should be one of those group. Jesus says, verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, in other words, most solemnly, when Jesus repeated amen, amen twice, following statement is the most critical statement that we must pay attention to. I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. There is no maybe or neutralized zone. Either commit sin or not to commit sin. Slave of sin. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 verse 6 said, knowing this, that our old nature, our old self was crucified with Jesus, in order that our body of sin might be done away or destroyed, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died to sin is freed from sin. That's what Jesus meant. If you keep on sinning, like challenging me right now, minutes ago you agreed with my statement and you believed in me, but minutes later you flipped and you turned around and you challenged my truth, then indeed still you are enslaved to sin. The truth did not set you free. That's what you just meant. That's why everyone who commits sin, challenging my truth, is a slave of sin. Your mental agreement with me, it looked sincere, but it was temporary. It was not a saving faith. That's what you just meant. Even Apostle John, he later on wrote to his beloved church members, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices, in other words, keeps on sinning, practices sin, because his seed, God's truth, God's word abides in him. He cannot sin. He cannot keep on sinning, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. See? At the first appearance, those audience, especially Jewish nominal Christian, no, believers, disciples, with their national privilege and pride, temporarily agreed together with Jesus about Jesus' teaching, the whole content, chapters 7 and 8 up to verse 29. But definitely, those Jewish disciples will not live forever with Jesus, because they had their own willful desire to live their own national pride, national privilege. They would not yield their will to spoken, revealed will of God by the mouth of Jesus of Nazareth. That is their stumbling block. The pride comes before destruction. That's what exactly happening to those majority of Jewish disciples. And Jesus keeps on saying, verse 35, now the slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free by his powerful word, truth, you really will be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, and you have such national pride and privilege you enjoy, yet you are seeking to kill me. That is not my Sender's will. That is not my Heavenly Father's will. It is the will of your father, devil. Because my word, my truth has no place in your soul. Verse 38, I speak of the things that I have seen with my Father in heaven. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your Father. Of course, ordinary people, they do not see devil. Only they hear his tempting whispers. That's why he said, Jesus said, you, devil's children, you do things what you heard from your father devil. But I, both my eyes and ears, have seen and heard from my Father. That's what I do. And I speak, not my own initiative. It is commandment from my Father given to me. I only repeat after such truth from my Father's mouth, and I have seen it. But such truth will not have place in your soul because your soul is captivated, filled with whispering of your father, devil. In such a short time, from nominal believers, the majority Jewish folks among the audience turned to devil's descendant. Such a severe statement Jesus gave them, but it is so true. Well, if we put our hand on our heart and we ask ourselves, well, sometimes I insist on sinning. Whether I like it or not, I keep on sinning. And I repent of that, but I cannot help. Then am I one of those temporary Jewish believers, disciples? No. God knows our heart. God knows our sincere obedience. God knows our self-denying attitude, as Jesus taught us. Pray in like this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy name will be honored. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heidelberg Catechism made it that very clear. What is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is denying our will, denying ourself, so that make will of God, make will of Jesus become our will. That's denying ourselves. That's the absolute precondition to become Jesus' disciple. That's what? That sincere, obedient heart we have. Though we fail here and there, time to time, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, for His complete, absolute obedience to His Father's will, even death on cross, for His sake, we become Heavenly Father's adopted children. That sincerely repenting, sincerely obeying heart is given, it's a free gift from the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, I as a son live in my Father's house forever. Those sincerely repenting, sincerely humbling, sincerely relying on my benefit alone. Those slaves are my slaves. They are living in my Father's house forever. But you, self-willed, temporary faith seekers, you are devil's children. You will not remain with me. You may live in the local church as a sincere Christian, but indeed you are not one of us. That's what Jesus meant. How grateful to Jesus for our salvation. How grateful to Jesus for our deliverance from the power of the devil and sin to obedient heart, to the Father's will, to the will of our Lord Jesus. Yes, in chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do Father's will, he will know the teaching, my teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from my own self. He who speaks from himself seeks his own will and honor. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Our obedience, our denying our will to the will of God is not seeking our own honor and glory. We are seeking our Savior's glory, our Father's glory, and His honor in all our life, both deeds and thoughts and mind and words. May the glory of God magnified in our free life in Jesus' truth. Amen.